What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. Lakers talk March 19th on this Tuesday. Lakers a couple days off before they take on the Philadelphia 76ers. That's coming up on Friday in about a half hour. Kobe Price covers the Lakers for the SoCal News Group. He's going to sit down with us and talk Lakers basketball, of course. Got a lot to get into, what the Lakers did over the week. Really, this is their chances of making a playoff push. This is it. I mean, we're really coming down to we're under a month left in the regular season. I saw some odds on NBA Today that are interesting. Chances of making the play-in, chances of making the actual playoffs. We got some injury updates to talk about. D'Angelo Russell ties Nick Van Exel. I want to talk about D'Lo and what he's been able to do. And I think the big question with D'Angelo Russell in these big games leading into the play-in, once they get to the play-in, how does he perform? I think however he performs there, that's where we're going to give our opinion on D'Angelo Russell and then the latest in regards to where the Lakers stand in the Western Conference. So appreciate you guys being a part of the show. If you guys want to be a part of the show, hit me up on Twitter. That's the best way to do it. I could be active with it while the show is going on at Alan Sliwa on Twitter. Okay, so I'm going to be very frank on this one, and I don't think I'm asking for too much here. Maybe I am asking for too much because this is Lakers basketball in the 2023-2024 season. Nothing is guaranteed. Certainly nothing is given for the Los Angeles Lakers. They got two games the remainder of the week. They're not awful teams that they're going to play. They're not. And I know that because the Philadelphia 76ers don't have Joel Embiid, the Indiana Pacers 5-5 in their last 10 games. Actually, both teams 5-5 in their last 10. The Lakers have to sweep these next two games and sweep this week. They got the win yesterday against the Atlanta Hawks. All good. They needed to do it. They actually got a lot of those big games behind them. I mean, if you guys remember, we were talking about the schedule for the Lakers starting in March. You had Denver, OKC, Sacramento, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Sacramento, and Golden State. You're done with that. So those were the toughest matchups that you had for the month. Those were the games that you got to kind of hang around crypto, and they still got another week or so that they get to be in Los Angeles. They only had one road game that they had to worry about. That was the game against the Sacramento Kings. But where the Lakers are sitting right now and the schedule coming up, these next two games for the remainder of this week, you have to get through these two games against the Philadelphia 76ers and the Indiana Pacers. And frankly, if you go look at the standings right now, Philly's 38-30, so they're not awful. You're going to have to beat them. The Indiana Pacers are 38-31. They're not awful. You're going to have to beat them. So I think it's, you know, easy to look at the schedule and say, ah, it's the Sixers and they don't have Embiid. This should be a walk in the park. Or, ah, it's the Indiana Pacers and Lakers blew out the Atlanta Hawks obviously yesterday. But I think there's a lot more to this than just looking at the standings or looking at the schedule and just assuming that the Lakers are going to handle business. I saw this a little bit earlier today. So NBA Today put out there, and there's obviously always great content on NBA Today, and you had the whole crew on there. I think Brian Windhorst, I remember Kendrick Perkins, Malika Andrews, those three off the top of my head I remember being on the show. And I saw that they just put out some odds of the Lakers' chances to make the play-in, to make the playoffs. Let me read these to you because I think it's important that we point this out. Lakers have a 95% chance to make the play-in tournament. 95% chance. Okay, basically what we're saying here is they're not at risk of not making the play-in, and to be honest with you, I haven't really ever felt like they were at risk for that. Maybe a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when Utah and Houston were still in the mix. And Houston's playing some better basketball, so maybe that's why the Lakers, it's only 95%, but they got about a three-game cushion on the Houston Rockets. Let's hope that doesn't happen. 95% chance to make the play-in. I thought this stat was interesting. 42% chance to make the playoffs. I think I got a little bit of a path for the Lakers to get in. And frankly, it's going to take some, it's going to take a lot of things to go their way. And not even just to get in. I'm talking about more of making a run in the playoffs this year. And I think for a lot of Laker fans, that's tough to imagine that. And I understand why. But let me kind of start off with that. So they got a 42% chance to make the playoffs. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I don't think they make the playoffs if they're a 10 seed. I just don't. However it works out, whether it's Dallas, Phoenix, Golden State, Lakers, Sacramento. You pick whoever you want to be in the play-in tournament. I don't think that really means that much to me. If they're the number 10 seed, which they're not, they're the number 9 seed, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. At the number 10 seed, you got to win two games on the road. Lakers are 12-20 on the road this year. I'm not going to all of a sudden think in a play-in game they're going to go handle business and beat the Warriors on the road and then follow that up with a road win against Dallas or Phoenix. Can it happen? Sure. But this Lakers team, to me, I don't see a path. I don't see that happening if they're the number 10 spot. Okay, cool. So just avoid the number 10 spot. That's all you're really asking the Lakers to do. Avoid the number 10 spot. If they can put themselves in a position where they're number 9. I think the Phoenix, the Suns are an interesting one. And again, all this means nothing unless the Lakers handle their business. But Phoenix has an interesting schedule coming up. They got one of the toughest schedules left in the NBA. Lakers have the 19th toughest schedule. Phoenix has the second toughest schedule. So they got some games coming up that are winnable. A few of those are going to be at home. Then they got some tough matchups. I don't know what the San Antonio Spurs are with Victor Wembanyama. And they're going to play them twice on the road against San Antonio. And, okay, maybe they split there. But look at this for the Phoenix Suns. From the end of March all the way to the end of the season, they're at Denver, top three team in the Western Conference by standings. They're at OKC, number one team in the standings. They're at New Orleans, number five team in the standings. They're hosting Cleveland, Minnesota, and New Orleans, and I'll go back to it. Cleveland's a top three team in the East. New Orleans is top five in the East. Minnesota, we know where they are. Then they got New Orleans again. L.A., as in two Clipper games, one at home, one on the road, and they finished the season on the road at Sacramento, at Minnesota. They have a brutal, brutal schedule coming up. So I don't think it's actually out of the way for the Lakers to potentially get into that one of that in that number 8 seed there. They also have the tiebreaker on the Phoenix Suns. So Phoenix still has a 3-game cushion on the Lakers, but just keep the Suns in mind for how tough it is that what they got coming up. For the Lakers to make any type of run, this is what I think is going to have to happen. And I know I'm asking for a lot, but I'm going to throw it out there anyways. You can't be the number 10. You can't play Denver in the first round. Does that mean to get in the play-in, you're going to have to win a tough road game? Yeah, you probably are. But I think the Lakers are capable of winning one tough road game. I just don't believe in two. And who knows? Maybe if they got into that number 8 spot, now all they got to do is win one road game or handle business at home, depending on who the 9-10 is. So keep that in mind as things kind of unfold. The other thing, and I know I mentioned it, you got to just avoid the Denver Nuggets. I don't know where Denver's going to end up when the season ends. Maybe I've heard people say, hey, if you're going to play Denver, might as well play them early. Maybe you can catch them early and something different's going to happen. I don't think so. I think even the only thing I think the Lakers can do with Denver is they can make it an interesting series. Maybe they can win a couple of games, but I don't think anybody feels like the Lakers are really going to give them too much of a handle. However, maybe you get Minnesota without Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe you get the Oklahoma City Thunder and their youth and inexperience. You're going to need a lot of things to go your way to make a run. You got to stay out of the bracket of where the Denver Nuggets are. And if the playoffs started today, technically the Lakers would stay out of that bracket that Denver's in. But the other thing that I think is so critical and so important, I feel like we got a little gut punch earlier today, and we'll see what happens. I don't want to – there was a report that came out from CBS Sports, and I'm going to read this tweet, and this is going to kind of get to my next point of another thing that's got to go their way. Bill Ryder, who – covers is a part of CBS Sports. He put out a tweet. This is when Travis and I were doing our show a little bit earlier. Sources tell CBS Sports that Los Angeles Lakers players Christian Wood, who I'm going to get into in just a second, Jared Vanderbilt, and Gabe Vincent will miss the rest of the season. While Vanderbilt still could return, sources say the expectation is that it will not happen. ESPN first reported the news on Christian Wood. So this is from Bill Ryder of CBS Sports. Part of my path to the Lakers making a run, a lot of it was predicated on Jared Vanderbilt. A lot of it was predicated on the Lakers getting back a defensive player, a defensive specialist in Jared Vanderbilt. And I know the news came out yesterday that Christian Wood, unfortunately for him, he's got to undergo surgery on his left knee. And he's going to be out for several weeks, is what they said. I mean, to think if we're already on March 19th and Christian Wood is about to have surgery, I'm not expecting to see Christian Wood back in the regular season, let alone if the Lakers are able to make a playoff run or whatever the case is. So unfortunately for the Lakers, Christian Wood in itself, of losing a big man, losing a guy that can get you 10, 12, 15 points off the bench, getting really losing a player that allows you to play a more, just a larger, a bigger matchup. One of the things that we talked about the Lakers coming into the season was their depth and their size. You lose that without Christian Wood. You lose that depth and you lose that size. Kind of a sneaky good rebounder as well. So they lose all that with Christian Wood not there. Cam Reddish, probably coming back sooner than later, but he's been in and out of the lineup. Gabe Vincent's only played 5 games this year. I know he's back doing on-court activities, but again, he's only played 5 games and he's not even doing contact. At least as of yet, he's not doing anything, any contact work with the team. How long is it going to take for him to integrate himself? The Vando one to me is more important than any of these players, and I'm not discounting what some of these players bring to the table, but Jared Vanderbilt is such a big, important piece to the Lakers, and if they're not able to get him back or they don't have him for the rest of the regular season, I think that changes everything for the Lake Show. I really do. I think he's such a key player, such an important player. And I think some of those injury updates that we've got, it's not the best news. It's not the greatest news. And frankly, at this point, if we're relying on those players to come back and we're already this deep into the season, that's obviously not good news. He has not been there since he got injured February 1st against the Boston Celtics in Boston. So that piece is definitely disappointing. We'll see what eventually happens. But for me, of all the players that have missed time, if the Lakers don't have Jared Vanderbilt, I just feel like that's a huge, huge loss for the Lakers if they're not able to get him back. Unfortunately, the news on Christian Wood just kind of adds to some of the role players that have been in and out of the lineup for the Lakers so far this year. Okay, Lakers Talk is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline and let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. Thank you to Valvoline for being a great partner of the show here. Okay, we come back. I want to talk a little bit about D'Angelo Russell. What he was able to do ties Nick Van Exel. He's going to eventually pass Nick Van Exel. Let's talk D'Lo. I think no matter what happens, there's always conversations around D'Angelo Russell. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. And just a quick reminder, Kobe Price is going to join us in about 15 minutes.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Like I mentioned, Kobe Price, who covers the Los Angeles Lakers for the SoCal News Group, is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. I was talking about the Lakers' chances of making the playoffs. The play-in, that's going to happen. 95% chance they're going to make it. I talked about all the things that need to kind of go the Lakers' way. The stats I got were from NBA Today, and I want to play something here real quick because Brian Windhorst has given his thoughts on the Lakers. Kendrick Perkins has given his thoughts on the Lakers as well. Take a quick listen here. This is NBA Today talking about Lakers getting out of the play-in tournament.
If they could do that twice in 3 days, yeah.
They can make it out of the play-in?
But are they going to do it twice in 3 days? I don't know. I don't know how LeBron's ankle is going to feel. I don't know if D'Lo's right. Going to hit shots. I don't know.
Nothing about the Lakers have convince me that they're ready for the moment, like Anthony Davis just said. Do we have to take it a couple games back when Sabonis was making him look like a little boy in those Sacramento games? Do I have to remind you that are De'Aaron Fox averaging 35 plus on the Lakers because they can't guard a park car. Do we have to go back to those days? They can't guard the perimeter. And we don't know if Gabe Vincent is coming back. We don't know if Jared Vanderbilt is coming back. And so when you look at the perimeter players that they're going to have to face, Devin Booker, De'Aaron Fox, Luka, maybe Kyrie, like all of these guys, they're going to have a field day with the Lakers. Yeah. So Steph. Nothing is good. Huh?
Steph.
All right, so there's obviously Kendrick Perkins and Brian Windhorst talking about it. You know, it actually makes me want to go backwards a little bit in our conversation. Last week when I did Lakers talk, we are getting ready to talk about the Lakers versus the Sacramento Kings and the Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors. Two big-time games. Listen, it's nice they beat the Hawks yesterday. But the head-to-head matchups against teams directly in front of you, those are key. Those are important. Sacramento almost lost a game yesterday. They ended up winning at home against the Memphis Grizzlies in overtime. They've been all over the place. But when they play the Lakers, they look like the 98 Bulls. They look amazing. And I think a lot of teams, you know, take matchups against the Lakers so personal. I thought it was interesting what Kendrick Perkins, you know, was talking about there. Do I have to remind you what the Lakers were just a couple days ago against against Domantas Sabonis and the Sacramento Kings? Do I have to remind you of what the Lakers have done versus? He's right. Like I have a difficult time actually arguing against him when he brings those points up. The Warriors game, to be honest with you, I pay a little bit less attention to, and I think probably Laker fans are not going to like that. But listen, you're not beating the Golden State Warriors if you don't have Anthony Davis healthy, period. You're not beating anybody. If Anthony Davis is not there, the game is over. And I think against the Golden State Warriors, was that just maybe some bad luck that, you know, what happened? All right, well, they had to also play some games without Steph Curry. There's other teams in the NBA that have dealt with injuries, so it is what it is. That's just going to happen, and no one's going to feel sorry for you. But their points are right. And if you told me that the Lakers won two games during the play-in tournament, made the playoffs, it'd be like, okay, hey, let's see what happens here. But if you told me that they lost the first play-in game, is that going to be a shock to anybody? Why would that be a shock? If you told me that they lost the second play-in game, would that be a shock to them? Of course it wouldn't be. That the Lakers didn't make the playoffs, would that be a shock? Of course it wouldn't. I mean, if you'd have told me before the season started, it would have been a shock. But at this stage, how could it be a shock when the Lakers have just kind of hovered around the same record? And as far as the standings go, this is really where they've been. I mean, they had that moment playing during the play-in tournament or the in-season tournament, and that was kind of their high water point. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of games that the Lakers can do some damage here over the next couple of weeks because their schedule is favorable. But the Lakers, they stubbed their toe. That's kind of what they've done all season long, and I don't think there'd be too big of a shock if that happened. What I think is crazy, if you look at 7 through 10 right now, look at the players that are in it. Luka's in it. KD and Devin Booker are in it. LeBron James and Anthony Davis are in it. Steph Curry and Draymond Green, Klay Thompson are in it. Steve Kerr is in it. Frank Vogel's in it. There's a lot of great players, Hall of Famers, that are going to be in this playing tournament, and it shouldn't be a shock if any of those teams, if one of those teams beat the Lakers, that obviously wouldn't be a shock because it's not like they're playing scrub teams or they're playing a young Houston team or a Utah Jazz team that doesn't have the talent or Memphis is beat up. They're not playing any of those teams. They're playing good teams. They just happen to all be playing in the Western Conference. All right, quick shout-out here. Thank you to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, proud partner here of Lakers Talk. Rush in your neighborhood Valvoline and let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. Okay, I want to go back to one of the topics I was just teasing. D'Angelo Russell he's been great. D'Angelo Russell has been fantastic now for the last couple of months. Last night, really no different. D'Angelo Russell hit 6 threes for the Lakers, had another 27 points for the Lakers, had 10 dimes for the Lakers as they took out the Atlanta Hawks. He was great. The team was good yesterday. And something else happened for D'Angelo Russell. D'Lo has tied Nick Van Exel for a franchise record for threes made in a season. He's at 183, one of my favorite players growing up. Nick Van Exel is, you know, obviously he's tied Nick Van Exel for 183. Used to, I grew up in the Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones days. You know, that was kind of more my era towards the end of the Showtime era. Magic was just getting ready to retire. And that was more my era. So Nick Van Exel, I know there's a lot of Laker fans out there that love them some Nick the Quick. D'Lo ties Nick Van Exel in the season. Russell, by the way, D'Lo's shooting 41.9% from three this season. That's top 15 in the league. He's actually at 14 right now. So D'Lo obviously making some stuff happen. He had some quotes yesterday saying that was really cool. He appreciates getting credit for it. I'll read one quote. He says, it's just really cool. I said I don't want to underdo it, understate it, overdo it. I just feel like it's a really cool to be a part of something like that. I think I did something like that in Brooklyn as well, just to get credit for your game and what you work through and showcase every single night. Obviously doing it with the Lakers and the Lakers franchise, that means a lot. He set a franchise record for the Nets in threes, 234 in 2018-2019. So D'Lo's making it happen. Let's stay with D'Angelo Russell for a second. I don't think anybody could really complain about what D'Lo's done over the last couple of months. Last night was actually kind of an interesting game, right? Your Lakers are going up against the Atlanta Hawks. It's DeJounte Murray on the other side. We talked about DeJounte Murray so much over the last couple of months, leading up to the trade deadline, and it was always, hey, Murray's going to get traded. If Murray gets traded, it's going to be for D'Angelo Russell. Those two head-to-head yesterday, DeJounte just 6 of 18, 1 of 9 from the three-point line, 13 points and 10 assists. D'Angelo Russell, you know, just kind of showcased his skill set, 27 and 10, and hit 6 threes for the Lakers out of 10, so 6 of 10, very efficient. I was talking about it in the pregame show that it'd be great if he could take the matchup a little bit personal just because he was going up against DeJounte Murray. But I think here's the reality with D'Lo. He's been great. He's been fantastic. I think fans have certainly opened up to the idea of saying, hey, you know what, D'Lo, that's our starting point guard. We should feel proud about that. You should feel more confident about what he's going to do on any given night. However, the only thing that I'll say, and I think this is going to come true here, I think we're also going to kind of hold our breath and say, all right, well, how's he going to do in those play-in games? If you play in that first play-in game and D'Angelo Russell has a night where he struggles from the field and only had 12 points and the Lakers lose the first play-in game and they're knocked out and they don't get a chance to play in the playoffs, that's kind of going to be most of what you remembered about D'Angelo Russell this season. And certainly the criticisms are going to start again, and we're going to get to the offseason. We're going to be asking the same questions. Okay, what do you do with D'Lo? By the way, it's not going to be their option. He has a player option. If he has a great couple of play-in games, and then we get to the playoffs, and D'Angelo Russell, Lakers got the Nuggets in the first round, and D'Lo struggles in the series, the question marks are not going to go away. Basically, the only way that we have a conversation about D'Angelo Russell, I think whatever he's done in the regular season has been fantastic, but I always think it's going to come down to, in the biggest games that the Lakers have, at the moments where it's most critical in the season, what's D'Lo going to do? And that's going to stick with him. Part of that is because of the playoff run that the Lakers had last year, how they basically couldn't use him against the Denver Nuggets. Now, it feels like he's a different player. It feels like he's a different player mentally. Feels like he's a different player just the way he's performing on a more consistent basis. Feels like his relationship with Darvin Ham is a little bit different. He talked a little bit, kind of opened up with Dave McMenamin about that. It feels different. But we could talk about how different it feels as much as we want. At the end of the day, when the playoffs do start, that's all people are going to be looking for, and I think that's okay. That comes with being a point guard for the Los Angeles Lakers, and it comes with needing to get results, and that's where you really do make your money, is in the playoffs for the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, Kobe Price coming up next, SoCal News Group. Stay right here, Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. As promised, want to welcome in Kobe Price, covers the Los Angeles Lakers for the SoCal News Group. Kobe, thank you very much for taking the time. It's kind of weird. We have 3 days off of Lakers basketball before the next game, but I appreciate the time as always.
No, I appreciate you having me on. It is kind of strange having I don't think they've had a stretch like this, having 3 days off in between games. Two, that's happened a couple of times or a few times, but three, I have to go back and check it. It feels weird just to me.
Well, I'll start with this because it gives us, you know, some time to obviously kind of digest where the Lakers are sitting, and everybody has their opinions and their thoughts. Lakers took care of business yesterday. They obviously handled the Atlanta Hawks after a little bit of a slow start. They basically controlled the game from there. Got a little help as well. The Warriors lost to the Knicks. That was a home game for the Warriors. Knicks, I feel like, beating up everybody in the West. And without a lot of their key players. Well, just your overall thoughts right now. We are under a month left of the regular season. There's a handful of games left. I want to say 13, I want to call it. 13 remaining on the season. Lakers are ninth in the Western Conference. What do you make of where they're sitting right now, and just kind of what your thoughts are of, or I guess you could say how you feel of their positioning?
Yeah, I mean, you just said it with them having 13 games left in the season. It's looking like that number 9 or 10 spot is where they're going to wind up ending the season. Right now, what, they're 2.5 games out of 8-7 behind Dallas and Phoenix, and they're 3 full games behind Sacramento. They lost the season, the season tiebreakers to Sacramento and Dallas, so they would not only have to – they would have to have better records than them to jump ahead of them. And at this point in the season, it's just hard to see that. Maybe they could get to 8, but 8 feels like their ceiling right now in terms of how high they could get. So it's looking like they're going to be in the play-in, and they're going to have to wind up winning 2 play-in games at them to get to the playoffs. And – maybe that sounds pessimistic. I think one of the times we've talked before, that's probably kind of more optimistic that they could climb. But with only so many games left, and now you're depending on other teams going through significant losing droughts to jump them, it feels like time is just running out for the Lakers to make a significant jump in the standings.
Yeah, Kobe, I was looking at the team that seems like could be vulnerable in this entire thing. Phoenix has a brutal, brutal schedule the rest of the way. And it's not like they're playing great basketball, and they're all over the place. They might look good one night, and they might get blown out by what they give up. They gave up 80 in the first half against the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis. They end up giving up 140 in that game. I don't know what the Phoenix Suns are, but – look at the stretch they're going to go through from March 27th to the end of the season. This is their schedule: at Denver, at OKC, at New Orleans, host Cleveland, Minnesota, and New Orleans, and the Clippers, actually. That's 4 in a row: Cleveland, Minnesota, New Orleans, and the Clippers. And then on the road against the Clippers, the Kings, and the Timberwolves. There isn't a matchup in that stretch that's not a tough matchup. And again, I go back to this. For the Lakers, it's going to be about handling your own business, and that's not certainly always the case. And even though the schedule kind of eases up for the Lakers, I still think they're vulnerable in any game. But Phoenix seems to be the one. If there's a team to catch up on, it might be Phoenix because of how brutal that schedule is and how inconsistent they've been.
Yeah, I would agree. I think one of the last couple times we talked about this, I thought Sacramento was the team that would be vulnerable. And shoot, since I said that, they beat the Lakers twice, right? So it's not like the Lakers up themselves in that respect. It's not like Sacramento's been that great, but you lose two games to a team you're directly competing with for a spot in the playoffs or play-in, whatever you want to say. That hurt. That just, again, those counts like double games. Phoenix, you know, the reason why I feel like their ceiling is 8, at least with Phoenix, the Lakers have the regular season tiebreaker or for the playoffs or for the play-in, whatever
it is. Big.
So even if they have the same record, they have the tiebreaker, they could jump to eight, even if both teams wind up being, whatever you want to say, 44-38 or 45-37, whatever it may be. Yeah, like Phoenix is going through a tough stretch. The Lakers' schedule does ease up in terms of quality of competition, in terms of the teams and their records. But we've also seen with the Lakers that as much as they can rise to the occasion against the best teams in the league, they can also, especially like the teams in the middle, and they're going to be playing a lot more of these middle teams or even the teams in the middle in terms of record, even a little bit in the mid-tier, they've struggled in those games. I mean, I know Anthony Davis was just out, or he missed most of the Warriors game, but that was a big game, and the Warriors have been a middle team all season. Sacramento Kings have been a middle team all season, and they just dropped those two games. So as much as they can rise to the occasion against, you know, the Thunder, the Clippers, teams at the higher tier, you know, Minnesota, they've also shown that that same focus may not always be brought. Now, this is later in the season. Maybe they're going to ratchet it up, get it to a point where you believe, all right, we're going to take care of business regardless of who the opponent is. The thing is that even if they do that, you're, like I said, less than a month into the season or until the end of the season, you're almost just running it out of time. It's a clock. Can you go on if 13 games are left, can you go on a 9-4 stretch, a 10-3 stretch just to give yourself an opportunity to jump, the teams ahead of you?
Yeah, and I like the point you said about mid-tier teams because I know Philadelphia doesn't have Joel Embiid. I know the Pacers are, I think, I want to say 7 games over 500, 38-31. This season, watching the Lakers play, they would split those two games. And I'm talking about the Friday-Sunday matchup. I wouldn't be shocked if that happened. You know, that's just kind of Lakers basketball in 2023-2024 that there's enough talent to beat the Lakers. There's enough if it's a little bit more, at least the style of play and a little bit of desperation that you show to the Lakers, you can definitely beat them. And I think those are going to be two crucial, critical games before they go on that 6-game road trip. But I think that gives us a little bit of an idea there. I was mentioning that NBA Today was on a little bit earlier, and they said that the Lakers, 95% chance to make the play-in. Okay, feel pretty good about that. 42% chance to make the playoffs, as in get out of the play-in. Can we play out a couple scenarios here? And one of those scenarios, what do you think happens if the Lakers were not able to make the playoffs? They ended up being a number 9 seed, and you know what? They won the first game, but they lost the second game on the road to Dallas or whoever it is. What do you think happens? What happens to this Lakers team? What happens to the coaching staff? What happens if they don't make the playoffs?
If the Lakers don't make the playoffs, my expectation would be that there would be a significant look at, just to say, I guess, the leadership of the team, starting with with the coaching staff, evaluating is this the coaching staff the right mix to lead this group to where they're trying to get to. They talk about it all the time, trying to raise another banner, trying to raise the 18th banner. And if you can't even make the playoffs, it would be the third time in the past 5 seasons, I want to say, they didn't make the playoffs, or past 6, something along those lines. If you don't make the playoffs, like especially in how top 8 teams, that's just an indictment. So it would require, or I would imagine my expectation would be, it would require a very significant look at, you know, is the right leadership in place to get this team where it needs to get to, accomplish the goals it wants to, because making the playoffs, it's more than half the teams in these conferences make the playoffs. That's not the big, you know, for a team like this, a team that's trying to win now, it's a great championship, making the playoffs would be the bare minimum, not something to quote-unquote celebrate in that sense.
Kobe Price, who covers the Lakers for the SoCal News Group, taking some time to join us here on Lakers Talk, especially Kobe, you know, coming off, getting to the Western Conference Finals, some momentum. You felt like the offseason, a lot of Laker fans were encouraged about, hey, look, they're going to bring a lot of these players back. They're going to give this thing some time to marinate. And if that's not the case, you can't even make the postseason. That's obviously a much different conversation. I kind of get your opinion on some of the injuries around the Lakers right now. And we got word yesterday, unfortunately, that Christian Wood is going to have surgery on his left knee, and he'll be out, at least the report said, this is coming from Adrian Wojnarowski, the report, he's going to be out for several weeks. Well, there's only a few weeks left in the regular season, that we're under a month. Of all the players right now that we're still waiting for, Christian Wood, Cam Reddish, Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt, which of those players do you think it's most significant, can have the most impact if they are able to come back?
I think it would be Jared Vanderbilt, just because of what he brings defensively. I think this team has missed his defensive presence pretty much all season long. Like, he missed, what, the first 7 weeks of the season? Played, you know, from early December through early February, and then he's been out for the last month and a half. So they really, and even during that first month or so period where he was back, there was a reintegration period, you know, getting his body right, getting back positioning, like all these other nuances. He didn't really start playing, to me, he didn't start playing like himself until maybe mid-January. And we kind of saw just how valuable he was for them on that end of the floor. He was figuring some things out offensively too, whether it's the passing or the screening or better finishing. It seemed like he was starting to find a rhythm, and then they just lost him. They've been without him for, at this point, it's looking like it's going to be two-thirds of the season. To me, he's one of the more irreplaceable players on this roster, just because of what he brings, the defensive intensity, ability to switch, deflections, steals, really mucks up the game on the defensive end of the floor. And they just don't have – They don't have many guys who can replicate it at that size. So, and we've seen what he can bring to this team. I mean, he was a big part of that run to the Western Conference Finals. He played significant roles in some of their big wins earlier in the season. So, to me, he's the biggest guy that they've been missing.
Kobe, with that in mind, and I know you're obviously around the team all the time, does anybody really have an idea about his return? Is that just as much of a mystery to you as it is to anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be optimism that he'll be back this season. Still unsure as to when. He's been doing set shooting. We just saw him doing some set shooting after shoot around that would have been yesterday. So it seems like there's still optimism that they haven't ruled him out for this season. But again, go back to the clock point that I made earlier about just them jumping up the standings. To me, it's not even just about getting him back. Can you get him back and get him to the level of play that we've seen from him? Even when he's been on the floor, when he came back from previous injuries, he didn't have that same burst, pop. It took him a minute to get there. So to me, getting him back, of course, is obvious. Like getting him healthy, getting him back on the floor is the most important part, especially the health part of it. You don't want to bring a guy back when he's not healthy and potentially risk other injuries. That goes without saying. But it's not just about getting him on the floor. It's about getting him in rhythm so he can be that difference maker that we've seen him be for this team. But with, you know, we have 13 games left, and, you know, we won't flow right into the play-in after that. Is that enough time for him to get that rhythm back after missing significant chunk of time twice this year? That's something I'm not sure. But it seems like there's still enough optimism that he could come back before the season ends.
Kobe, we've spent a lot of time these last couple of months kind of praising what D'Angelo Russell has been able to do. Yesterday, he ties a franchise record and will surpass it, I'm assuming, on Friday when the Lakers take on the Sixers. But his record of tying Nick Van Exel for most threes made in a season, so he ties him with 183. I spent a little time on this before we had you on, talking about how, as great as D'Lo's been these last couple of months, and, you know, I'm sure it's proved a lot of people wrong, people that didn't believe in him and his ability to do what he's doing, and he's been very efficient and still getting dimes and everything else. Is D'Angelo Russell, are we going to look at D'Lo similar to last year, where, hey, it doesn't really matter what he ends up doing? I don't want to say that there's no value in it, because, of course, there's a lot of value in it, but if he plays poorly in a play-in game and the Lakers don't make the playoffs, and that's kind of what we remember, is that what we'll remember when the season's done? Or if they make it to the playoffs, and I'll use kind of the example last year when the Lakers played the Nuggets, they almost couldn't play him at times just because he wasn't playing enough defense and his shot wasn't falling. How important is it for D'Lo, do you think, that to round out whatever he ends up doing this year and what the Lakers end up doing, that in games where it's most critical that he performs?
I think it's significant. I mean, this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, to be quite honest, and that doesn't take away from the success that he's had during the regular season. This stretch from early January through now has been one of the better stretches of D'Lo's career in terms of the production, the efficiency, all of it. He's been playing phenomenal ball, especially in his role. But this is, like I said, what have you done for me lately league. So if D'Lo doesn't perform to the level that he's shown he can perform in the games that matter most, in the playoffs or the play-in, then, yeah, I fairly or unfairly, people will remember that. People will cling on to that, hang on to that. Again, it can be unfair. It can be fair. It doesn't take away from what he's done to really get this team to the position they are in, because without D'Lo, you know, they could be in an even worse spot in terms of the standings, if he especially hasn't been lighting it up the way he has been the last couple months. But I think that's the reality of the NBA. You can have a great regular season, and if you don't perform well in the playoffs, that's what people are going to remember about you.
Cole, final one for you, and as always, appreciate you taking the time and hanging out with us here. Just kind of trying to think here. You look at the Western Conference. Let's take Denver out of the equation. Give me a team that you still have a lot of faith in the Western Conference to make a run, and give me a team that you've lost faith in, that maybe at one point you thought, hey, watch out for this squad. Give me one that you think can make a run and one that you have less faith in.
I've lost faith. I lost faith in the Suns, and I'm still have faith in the Clippers. I say the Suns just because
I don't disagree on the Suns one. I really don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, every time I watch the Suns, I'm just reminded that I always feel like they're missing an organizer. They're missing a piece that really helps them consistently get over the hump outside of just spectacular shot making. And obviously, when it comes to the playoffs, you're going to need spectacular shot making. They have that in an abundance. But things just don't always feel crisp with them. Sometimes things feel like, considering their talent, it feels like sometimes things are just too much of a struggle. Too much of a struggle, too difficult. The defense has been up and down. I've lost faith in terms of them being they're not that far ahead of the Lakers, so maybe that faith shouldn't have been as present as it had been. But that's the team I've lost faith in. I'm still not fully out on the Clippers. They've had a rough stretch after being the hottest team in the league for a nice period of time. They've had a rough stretch since, but I still have a level of faith that they can, I don't know about make, contend, be one of the final two teams in the Western Conference, in the Western Conference Finals. Whether you lose to Denver or not, okay. But I feel like I feel better about them at least getting to that point than I guess most people would, especially after how the past couple of weeks have gone.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, the West, there's just such good matchups all the way through, and it's going to be fun. But I'm with you that there's certain teams I'm sure people had belief in, and now you're questioning some of those beliefs. So, Cope, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time. I know I'm going to see you on Friday, Lakers, Sixers at Crypto.com. So thank you for coming on, bud.
Appreciate having me on.
All right, that is Kobe Price of the SoCal News Group. When we come back, give our final thoughts. Thank you all for hanging out with us. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, shout out again. Thank you to Kobe Price joining the show. Covers Lakers for SoCal News Group. Always great to connect with him. All right, I want to spend a little bit of time here just previewing what the Lakers got the rest of the week. I know I mentioned it to start the show. Only two games left this week for the Lakers. I don't want to hear any complaining, rest, this, any of that stuff. Literally just got two games. Both of them are going to be here at Crypto.com Arena. And then it's going to get juicy from there. So you got the Sixers and the Pacers. No Joel Embiid, even though Philadelphia, I'm going to give Philly some credit here. They're still in the mix. I mean, they're doing everything they possibly can to stay in the mix until Joel Embiid comes back. Who knows when Embiid's going to come back. but Kyle Lowry has been nice for them. Maxey, obviously, he's been back and doing his thing, Tyrese Maxey. So I don't think that's going to be an easy game. I feel like the Sixers are just going to play their own tough brown brand of basketball, which is blue collar, roll up the sleeves and come to work. And then the game against the Pacers, obviously that's going to be on Sunday as well. And Tyrese Haliburton, one of the best in the NBA, even though I know he's been struggling, hasn't been shooting all that well. Lakers are going to have both of those games. Here's why these games are so important. Because after this homestand for the Lakers, Lakers are on the road for 8 of their final 11 games of the season. So after Sunday, 8 of the final 11 games for the Lakers is going to be away from Crypto.com. Look, Lakers at home, pretty good team. 25-12 on the season at Crypto. Lakers on the road, not good. 12-20 on the road. Now, they have the 11th easiest schedule left in the NBA, so that's obviously going to come into play here. But the 12-20 on the road, next time I do Lakers talk, it's going to be start of a 6-game road trip for the Lakers. And I'm not telling you that they're the toughest matchups. I mean, you go at Milwaukee, that's going to be a tough game. At Memphis, you should be able to handle business. But, Mac, what the heck do I know? Memphis just put a run up against the Sacramento Kings last night, took them to overtime on the road. Then you're at Indiana, at Brooklyn, at Toronto, at Washington. Very winnable games in this stretch, especially that stretch of Brooklyn, Toronto, and Washington. But you never know what can happen. I never want to see the Lakers, you know, obviously play down to their competition, but I don't want to jump ahead. I'm just saying you need these next two at Crypto.com. Who knows what happens in the rest of the Western Conference? Speaking of the rest of the West, you know, it's crazy to kind of look at the standings right now and some of the different matchups that can go down. There's so many unique matchups in the NBA. That's kind of one of my favorite things of where we are right now in the league. And I'm not telling you this is perfect for a Laker fan, but there's so many players any given night that so many young superstars that are coming up in this league. And maybe, okay, we know their names, Anthony Edwards, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but it feels like there's a new era that's starting in the NBA. Zion has been fantastic. Go look at how great he's been. De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings, Domantas Sabonis. There's so many good young players in this league. A lot of these guys can compete against the Lake Show. A lot of these guys can compete against Steph Curry or Kevin Durant or some of these other teams that have had these. Even the Clippers. The Clippers are a team right now. It looks like, okay, they're reeling. I don't know where the heck they're going. They're trying to just hang on to the number 4 spot. I read something from Paul George after the loss of the Atlanta Hawks a couple days ago that the Clippers have no identity. So all these teams in the Western Conference, it can mean anything on any given night. Nothing is guaranteed, and that's what's going to make it fun. I'll be back on tomorrow morning with Travis Rogers. We'll be handling our show. And then, of course, on Friday, Lakers and the Philadelphia 76ers. Hope you can join us for that. Thank you to Michael Funchess. Thank you to Mario Ruiz. LA, as always, hope you guys have a great rest of your night.